Between now and then, Jimmy Thompson from flat-chat.com.au will be joining us. The suggested new rules for Airbnb are out, so we thought it's a good time to talk about that and its effect on strata holders. But if you've got anything else you want to bring up in the strata world, feel free to give us a yell on 1300 222 702. Helping you with the traffic before we do so, this is for Joseph Tuadros, who's heading to Newcastle. Albion Park Rail, Princes Highway just past Tongara Road. There's an accident there. Heavy traffic, two of three southbound lanes closed at the moment on the Princes Highway. Moore Park, Cleveland Street at South Dowling Street. A car broken down there with a westbound lane closed. On the M1 approaching Pete's Ridge Road at Calga, trucks broken down there. Southbound is affected. And there's been some asphalt spilt. I'm going to make a tongue twister out of that at some point. Ashley spilt the asphalt actively on the Pacific Highway near the motorway link road at Doyleson. Jimmy Thompson's laughing at me. Go on, you say asphalt. How do you say that?
Well, I'd say it different in Scottish. I'd say asphalt.
Asphalt.
No, it sounded German.
That sounded Northern Ireland. Asphalt. Gonna put you out on the asphalt.
It also sounded like it was A-S-S-F-E-L-T.
Well, it's one of those words I feel like as soon as I've said it, I'm just not quite sure. Lost it, you know. Yeah. It's like there's bitumen on the road. Is that the same thing? Is bitumen the same as asphalt?
It is.
Same thing. So there's some bitumen on the road.
There's also sorts of potential for that.
On the Pacific Highway that at Dawson affecting southbound. Hello, Jimmy.
Hello, sir.
How are you going? Nice to see you.
I'm Mickey Mouse, if I was in New Zealand.
Ah, which means you're good?
Yeah.
Oh, so in New Zealand, Mickey Mouse means good, whereas here we'll tend to think it's
so
inferior.
Dodgy, yeah.
A bit dodgy. Yeah. I'm Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
Good as a house. I'm Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
There you go. Thank you.
So start just to kick things off for you.
That's very good. In New Zealand, you're Mickey Mouse, and that means that you're good.
Well, it means things are. You say that TV's Mickey Mouse. In New Zealand, it means it's fantastic.
How are you? I'm Tickety Boo.
Tickety Boo, no.
You know what we should do? No?
I think Tickety Boo means, in where I come from, means really good, fantastic.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So you say Tickety Boo.
Yeah.
Yeah. How are you going? Tickety Boo.
Yeah.
We'll do one day the sort of nonsense things like tickety boo.
Yeah.
You know, like what's a nonsense
dinky
phrase?
Dinky die.
Yeah, dinky die. You know, what's a sort of nonsense phrase in German and that sort of stuff. But anyway, that's all to come.
Yes.
That is not your concern.
It's not my segment.
Oh, Scottish friend, and if you ever wanted to see what Jimmy Thompson looks like, can I point you in the direction of today's Australian Financial Review? Life and Leisure section, page 19, bottom thereof, and there's Jimmy Thompson in a kilt.
In a kilt.
With sporran.
Where else are you going to put your mobile phone?
Well, that's true. Do they make them now with a sort of special mobile phone holder in the sporran? Is that sort of...
I suspect they do.
Mm. And then you're wearing I'm seeing it as like an Outlander shirt.
Yep.
You look like you're an extra in Outlander.
They call it a ghillie shirt.
A ghillie shirt.
Yeah.
Okay.
A ghillie is like he works the fish.
Oh.
He's like a gamekeeper.
A fisherman? Oh, no, like a gamekeeper.
Yeah. So he tends to look after the salmon and stuff.
Look after the laird's salmon.
Oh, yes. Exactly.
Oh, that's good. So you're wearing an oppressor's shirt, you know.
Oppressed?
Well, no, you're the ghillie. Aren't you the one that's going to arrest the poacher? And
oh, that's true.
You know.
That's true. I am the gamekeeper. I haven't turned poacher yet.
You haven't turned poacher yet. And I like the fact that what we've done is we've considered what's worn with the kilt, not what's worn under the kilt, which is the usual thing, isn't
yes.
it? So everyone does that.
Yes.
I want to know what's worn with.
And the now what's the two are regimental and informal about what's worn under the kilt.
Yes. you are wearing a kilt because?
Because I just felt as it explains in
Scottish.
The excellent story.
Yeah.
I still occasionally get invited to formal things, and I'm just one of these people who looks really bad in a suit. Really, really,
and you
really
think you look
bad.
Better in the kilt.
Even looking in a kilt.
Now you do
looks
look
bit...
you look resplendent there in the kilt. That's great.
I felt at home.
And so is there a in the Scottish culture,
mm-hmm.
is there a ceremony, you know, does a man get his first kilt at 14 or something like that? Is there a Scottish, you know, heather bar mitzvah? Heather mitzvah.
You get your first pint at 12.
First pint at 12.
That would be the bar mitzvah.
First fight at 12 and a half.
Yeah.
And so when did it...
No, there is no...
Do kids wear a kilt?
No.
So a young boy wouldn't wear a kilt.
The only person I've heard, a Scottish person, who's deliberately gone and worn a kilt is Jimmy Barnes' brother.
Oh, yeah.
When they came to Australia. And he wore a kilt so he could be bullied at the new school in Adelaide.
Right.
So he could bash everyone
right.
and get it out of the way.
Yeah. No, there'd be that approach. But anyway, you're looking good there, and so if you want to check that out. Otherwise, we're here to talk about the Strata Life.
Yes.
Jimmy writes for flat-chat.com.au, has done for some 13 years, has considered every issue of living in Strata, the legal issues, the practical issues, the day-to-day issues of what it's like to live in a block of flats, basically. There's some particular things arising at the moment that Jimmy's been thinking about and considering. So we're regularly getting him in to talk about those. But we're happy to talk about any aspect of Strata Life whatsoever. Today, Jimmy, the short-term holiday letting proposal has been released, or let's just call it Airbnb. What to do about it in your block of flats.
Yes.
What are they suggesting?
Well, they're looking at the whole landscape. Not just apartments. I mean, because let us not forget that this all started with some houses, I think, in Balmain that were letting out a room on Airbnb, which was the original concept of Airbnb before it became a multi-global industry. And the local council said, oh, hey, we're fining you $1 million for running an illegal bed and breakfast. And then that became an inquiry, and the inquiry decided that holiday letting was a fantastic thing for everybody, whether they wanted it or not.
Right.
And they came out with a report in April, and the government went, oh, no, can't have that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're now back to square one. A discussion paper has been released. The discussion paper includes things like self-regulation of the industry, because that always works.
Yes.
Strata regulations, including the ability for owners' corporations to pass bylaws saying, well, you can't have Airbnb in this building. There's planning regulations, things like, okay, you can have so many days a year before you become a business and you have to get planning permission.
Mm-hmm.
And then registration, like they have in Barcelona, where you can have a holiday letting in your apartment or house, but you've got to register with the local council. So these are all things just for discussion.
Yeah, yeah. So what does the registration achieve, for example?
Well, it means somebody can come round and say, oh, you're renting out this tiny little box room at the top of a wooden staircase in a building with no fire sprinklers, and we don't think that's a good idea.
Right. So they could knock back your registration. So
possibly.
Unless registered. And do we know in Barcelona whether they do any inspection or is it
Right. Yeah, they go around and they bail up. There's a very good documentary on the ABC about housing and stuff. And there's these three young women go and they knock on people's doors and they say, "Hello, are you a tourist? We're British. We don't understand your crazy language. That's okay. Are you going to throw us out? No, just tell us. Just show us the lease." And then they say, what are you going to do? And they say, oh, we're going to fine the owner of this apartment €50,000 for illegal holiday letting.
Oh, okay. So because they're not registered.
Yeah.
Then so there's a check on whether they're not registered.
Yeah.
I suppose I'm still coming back to.
Well, what they're trying to do
once
is
registered.
What they're trying to do is limit in, because what they're finding in cities like Barcelona, this whole concept of come and live with the locals, well, that would be fine, but the locals have all moved out because the rents have got too high.
Right, right.
And so they're trying to limit the number of registrations so that they can control, get the balance right, which I think is fair enough.
Yeah. On bylaws, wouldn't that be covered under our current bylaws laws? That if these, you know, the Strata Committee wanted to pass a bylaw to say no short-term renting. Wouldn't that be possible?
Well, a lot of buildings have this. A lot of buildings say our building is zoned residential only, so we're going to pass a bylaw that says, now you cannot pass a bylaw that tells somebody how they can and can't let their property.
Right.
So they say, okay, well, what we're going to do is we're passing a bylaw saying you must abide by zoning. Okay?
Right.
Seems fair.
Yeah.
And a lot of buildings have done this.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks ago, Fair Trading, I asked them a question and they said, no, you can't do that. They said, you cannot have any bylaws that restrict short-term letting. Now, this has caused great angst.
Right.
It's one of these questions so you wish you'd never asked.
So zoning residential, I mean, doesn't mean you can't, like, of course you can rent out as residents.
Yeah, it's a minimum 3 months.
You can't rent out as a business.
Well, it's a business, but you can't rent out on a weekly basis. You
right.
can't rent out for weekends because residential, most places say residential is 3 months minimum.
Mm.
Certainly City of Sydney says that in
right.
their zoning.
So again, why wouldn't that cover that? So then you're covered, aren't you? This is
well, this is what everybody thought until right. stupid Jimmy asked Fair Trading a question he should never have asked.
Right.
And they said, no, you cannot. It doesn't matter what anything else happens. This is the council have to police this. You can't police it.
Oh, I see. So, yes, it can be policed, but not by you.
Yeah, by the council. And the councils are all saying, oh, we're doing nothing until the new laws come in,
right.
which won't be till next year.
Okay, so then we come back to, say, the council registration, where if you're registered with the council, then
yep.
the council
yep.
can come around and say, you're breaking zoning laws.
Yeah.
Right. Or you yep. can't, we're not taking registration.
We're not going to take your registration. Yeah.
yeah, right.
Yep.
Okay. 1300 222 702 is our number if you'd like to join us. You might have some views on this kind of thing. We're talking the Airbnb and the short-term holiday letting proposal drafts, it's a discussion paper that's been released. If you've got views, jump on in, 1300 222 702. But we also deal with anything else that might be happening in your block. Hello, Kevin.
Hello.
What's happening in the townhouse?
Way down in the townhouse. Got a the garage is actually underneath somebody else's courtyard, and the concrete of the roof, i.e. the floor of the courtyard, is leaking water down into the garage and dripping onto the tenant's car and leaving a like a limestone stain to the point where it's actually found its way into the light fitting and that's become the conduit, if you like, and the strata manager doesn't appear terribly interested in doing anything about it. We've complained and the
yeah.
obviously the owner of the unit with the courtyard doesn't want to have their courtyard ripped up, but it needs to be waterproofed in some way. And we're just wondering how do we progress this further?
So it's not a common area. It's a courtyard that's on title to a particular townhouse.
Are you sure about that?
It's not the courtyard above it is not the
it's not
owner
common.
of the garage that's underneath it.
Yeah, but the point is, if that courtyard is... Hello, Kevin, sorry. Mm-hmm. If that courtyard is common property, which it may well be, then the owner's corporation, like everybody, has to chip in and fix this.
Is the courtyard common property, Kevin?
No, it's not like public access. It's part of the unit.
That doesn't make any difference. It could still be common property.
Oh, okay.
Because, like a balcony is going to be common property.
Okay.
If that
yep.
makes sense to you.
Right, okay.
Now,
well,
it may not be. It may not be, but that's the first thing you need to check out.
Right.
If it is common property, then you basically threaten the owners' corporation that they got to fix it, and they by law they must do that. They have to maintain and repair common property.
Mm.
If it turns out they actually is owned by the person in that unit, then basically you tell them that they've got to fix what belongs to them. But I would imagine the ceiling, the roof of the garage, which I know is the same thing, is common property. So that, again, has to be fixed by the owner's corporation.
Are you talking an individual garage or a parking
yes.
area where there's...
No, an individual lock-up garage.
And that garage is on someone's title.
Yes, that's on my title.
That's your,
right.
Yeah.
I'm hazarding a guess here, but I would say you're dealing with a common property issue, in which case you have a word with the strata manager and say, look, if you don't organise this to be fixed, we're going to have to run the building to NCAT, to the tribunal, and they'll tell you to fix it.
Kevin, thanks for your call. Is there a difference, though, between like external wall and balcony and windows that are common property and something like a courtyard or garden area that no one else has access to and you can actually sell as part of your title?
Yep.
Like, how does that then end up being common title, common property?
If the common property area is part of the structure of the general building, and it sounds like this one is because it's on top of a garage.
Right.
You do get buildings where all the balconies are common property because they're part of the same slab.
Yeah.
And the idea is you want the owners' corporation to have to maintain it because individual owners might not, and that might endanger other people.
Right.
But you can get in the same building the courtyard on the ground floor, which is not common property. Because it doesn't affect anyone else. But it's all in the strata plan. It's all in,
and it'll actually be there. It'll be defined, and this is all gone through at some point.
Anything that's defined by a thick black line is common property.
Right. Kevin, good luck with that one. 1-300-222-702. If you'd like to join us, Jimmy Thompson's with us from flat-chat.com.au. Hello there, Catherine.
Hello, it's Catherine. Thank you for taking my call.
Right.
My question is with regard to the legal status of an over 55 group of townhouses. I purchased one over 5 years ago now, and because my solicitor thought that my voice was too young, I had to prove I was over 55 years of age.
Right.
Since then, another person has purchased one of the townhouses in our complex. He was under 55. We did challenge it. We wrote some legal letters. We were completely and utterly ignored. The person went ahead, purchased the property. They are now 55, and they are very lovely people.
Mm.
But the point is, we were completely and utterly walked over and ignored. So what is, if any, the legal status of buying into a property that says 55 and over?
Mm.
Good question. I think basically, fundamentally, you should be able to pursue someone who is in residence rather than owning the property. For instance, somebody could buy an over 55 unit for their parents to live in. I'm sure that's perfectly acceptable. The whole point of the law is that people who are over 55 don't want to be living next to young families. Mm. Possibly. For
is
instance.
It covered by law as such?
I think it's in the contracts of sale and the development approval, because these over 55 schemes got a lot of leeway in planning when they were being developed. So it was part of the development approval that this was for residents by over 55s. Now, who do you take that to? I would imagine in the first instance it would be the tribunal. And it may even be that you would have to go to the Supreme Court to get a ruling.
Mm. Do you think it matters, Catherine, who buys or who lives there?
The person who bought it lives there. Our initial issue is still somewhat the same. Look, they are a lovely family, but the problem is they have children and multiple cars, and I would say that this development has been built on the over 55s only. We all have double garages, but there's nowhere else to park. And so we have parking issues with their children parking in the one turnable space that everybody who has to use, if you've got somebody who comes as a tradesman, there's only one place for them to turn their vehicles, and they park their cars there. That's personal. We can take that up with them. Mm. But my concern was really, what was the point of having an over 55 developer, which I purchased, which actually cost less because lots of people don't want them. So when I go to sell it, it'll be less valuable, and it was completely and utterly ignored.
Did you go to the tribunal?
You don't have time.
Right.
By the time you find out what's happening, we wrote legal letters. I actually hold the real estate agents and their legal people to blame because my legal person wouldn't let me buy unless she had proof that I was over 65. Over 55.
Interesting point, Catherine, and thanks for raising it. That's certainly something to keep an eye on. Text correspondence says, I'm a planner. Anyone can buy an over 55 unit, but you have to be over 55 to live in it.
Yep.
It has a covenant in the title to enforce the same.
Yep.
Somebody else is suggesting for our chap with the garage problem, the courtyard dripping in, says, I had the same problem. The cheapest option was to install a 6x6 metal plate on the ceiling under where it drips. It catches the dripping water, stops the minerals dripping onto the car. The water evaporates, so there's no overflow. So, while you're trying to get the problem fixed, but you're trying to save the Duco on the car, that may be simple enough problem there. Charlie,
Yeah.
We're talking about short-term letting before. What do you want to know?
Yeah, just wanted to ask about the angle of the insurance on the building, because we've got our AGM next week, and this is a hot topic for us. Mm. If the building technically, like with Airbnb and that, is being used for commercial accommodation, like a hotel, I'm not sure that our insurance would cover that. And if you had an angle from the insurance where the insurer said, no, we're not going to cover your property if it's being used for that usage, or you'd have to get a different policy. Mm, is that a possibility?
Absolutely. As was written into the new strata laws that came in last year, that if somebody is doing anything in their apartment that increases your insurance premiums, then you, as a strata committee, can reasonably go to them and say, look, this is how much it would cost us if you weren't doing this, and this is how much it costs us now that you are doing this, and you have to pay the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And
so it may mean they say, yeah, fine, I'm making enough money out of this to pay the difference.
Yeah, but if they're the only place in a building that is being insured on the basis that everybody or a third of the properties or whatever are going to go Airbnb, then the first person to do it is going to have a fairly hefty bill.
Yeah. What about in terms of sort of wear and tear on the building and then sort of maintenance fees and strata fees and things like that? I mean, wasn't there some stuff on telly last week where they were showing city apartments, I think in Melbourne,
right,
being constantly let out to young people? These people are having a great time, but that means that they are making mess, they're destroying carpets, they're wrecking the pool area, all this sort of stuff.
Yep.
Is that a similar sort of issue where you go, okay, look, you know, we are now putting your fees up to $4,000 a quarter because, you know, you're destroying these areas?
Well, there's two things. One is that if your tenant is, you can prove that your tenant has broken or destroyed or damaged something, then you can be not fined. Well, you can be fined, but you get the bill, basically.
That's right. Yeah, because that's your tenant. Yeah,
if that can be proved.
Right.
But under the new proposed laws, they're suggesting that where buildings have Airbnb or short-term letting, they can say to the host, there's a component of extra wear and tear because you are using it as non-residential, so we're going to charge you for that. Now, that's one of the proposals that's come up.
Right. So, so you could charge them extra because they're doing this?
Yes.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so there's a couple of areas that people can take there with insurance or with the other. Charlie?
Yeah.
You said there was going to be a hot topic at the AGM. What's the heat? Is there a lot of opposition to it? Is there a lot of people for it?
No, we've got a bylaw that says you can't rent for under 6 months.
Yeah.
And we've got some people do house swapping.
Yeah.
Which has never been a problem.
Yeah.
But that's not a commercial arrangement. There's no...
Yeah,
you know, money changing hands, obviously. Yeah. But we have neighbouring property where Airbnb has become a real problem.
Yeah,
and we wanted to nip it in the bud before it, you know, even started.
Right.
And,
but does your 6 month bylaw pretty much do that? Is that?
Well, I thought so until I was listening to your program 10 minutes ago.
yes.
Yeah. Your 6 month bylaw is illegal.
I suppose I'm interested in just the atmosphere in the building is for or against short term letting.
No, it's against short term.
Against short term.
The culture is against it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Kind of what you need is like. Look, I mean, if you've got that, then obviously that's what's going to happen, isn't it? But you only need one person, I suppose.
Yeah, but I would say, you know, check your zoning of the building and still go for that bylaw that says we enforce our council zoning.
Yeah.
The 6 month minimum is totally invalid. But don't tell anyone else.
That's right. Charlie, thanks for your call. Jimmy Thompson, as usual, with often semi-legal advice on strata. flat-chat.com.au if you want to know more and find out more about these conditions that might affect you and look at all the other issues that have been going on. Mr. Thompson, thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.